Even when nobody is backing us.
Come on. Come on.
Even when nobody supports our dream and our vision and what we know that, oh, this is it.
Come on.
When we know it, that's all it takes is for us to know it.
Exactly.
So since we know it, then we have to drive that thing. We have to push that thing forward. Yes. I don't care if you're standing alone, and Eve ended up standing alone. It did not stop her. It moved. I think that was really a push.
Hey, and welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. No drama here, just real classy and good conversations over Eve's memoir, Who's That Girl? We are your co-hosts, Jen the Godmother, the Corporate Free Spirit, Ray Suri, the Philanthropist and Motivational Speaker, Courtney J, our Confidence Coach and Model, and Fashionably She, the Corporate Fashion Blogger. Join us as we wrap up Eve's memoir, Who's That Girl? Chapters 9 through 20. This is it. It's getting good now. Welcome home, sis.
Welcome back to Let's Be Real, Not Right. I am Kyla Thomas, Fashionably She on all social media.
What's up? It's me, Courtney J, _ Courtney, CORTNIJ, on Instagram.
And it's me, Ray Suri.
And it's me, Jen the Godmother.
All right, y'all. So listen, we have listened to the feedback. We have heard y'all loud and clear. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap this thing up in this episode, episode 3. We will close out Who's That Girl? And you guys come back for the next episode. And we're going to give you guys what you've been asking for. And that's more into what's going on with us, our journey, and just current events. So,
pow, pow, pow.
So this is how this is going to roll. So the first episode, we covered 1-4. The second episode, we covered 5-8. So you guys go check those two episodes out. This episode, we're just going to knock it out. We're going to go through 9-20 and close it out. All right, y'all. So let's just get right into it, ladies.
Right. Y'all ready?
Okay, see.
Come on with the intro.
All right. So here's what I got to say, and I am not going to rename Eve chapters this time because I thought about it, and that was a bit disrespectful, I think, for me to do that. So if y'all, again, go back and listen to the previous episodes, I renamed her chapters, but I'm not going to do that. For these three chapters, and I'm not going to go through all three by name, but I will say the name made sense. And so Scorpion, that's her sign. And I think that was the name of one of her albums. Mm-hmm. And that album, and I think her sign is what? And I'm not into signs, y'all. I'm really not. No, but I think she said it was like sun and rising.
Oh,
but
yeah.
These chapters, 9, 10, and 11, it was all about her evolution, mm-hmm. how she was starting to evolve. And, but then yet, even though she was evolving, she was still not seeing the bag. So I really liked how she called that out. Like the bag was not coming, even though she had did collaborations with Michael Jackson. And so guess who she called?
Suge Knight.
Man. She called in the big guns. And so she was just like, I need
big
muscle.
Guns, right?
So she felt like I need muscle. I need power. And, you know, I got management. I got all these people around me, but nothing is really working in my favor. So she called in Suge Knight, and then the Rough Riders was like, you got to let that go. So she had to let that go. But what happened is that was almost like the downfall of her career with the label, because they didn't like that. They didn't appreciate the pull up from Suge Knight. And so things started turning for the worse. But one thing in this chapter that really related to something in my life currently is Eve talked about graduating from high school, or not actually graduating.
Ooh, yeah.
So she finished high school, but she didn't walk the stage. And she said how, you know, graduating is more for the parent, mm-hmm. like to make my parent proud. And so y'all know, I think I told y'all, right, my son stopped going to college and I was devastated. I was like, no, you got to finish. That's all mm-hmm. I knew, is for him to finish. But I really could respect, like, reading through the book, how that wasn't what she wanted. She was self-assured in what she wanted to do. She went her route. And so she talked about how the Grammys was her graduation.
Yeah.
I thought that was
trophy.
So
yeah.
Sweet.
So that was, it gave me hope with my son, just knowing that everybody don't have the same path. It doesn't have to be an educational route. You just kind of stay true to who you are. And so those three chapters kind of really made me at peace with what's going on just in my personal situation with my family, and just mm-hmm. hope and to know and trust in God that my son's going to be okay.
Listen, this is a child of parents that I know the goal was for me to go to college, finish in 4 years. That's not what happened. I got out of high school. I decided I'm going to do what I want to do this first year because I'm grown. Yeah. And you know what? My parents really didn't give me any, they didn't make me feel like it was okay, but they didn't force me. Like they was like, all right, we're going to let you do what you do. But you know, all that fancy stuff that you like to buy, you're going to have to get a job and you're going to have to pay for that. But after a year of paying for all that fancy stuff, baby, I went to school.
It's like, you know what? You might be right on what you're talking about.
I said, you know, I think I'm going to go to Western Kentucky. After all, I think it's and even when I got my butt to Western Kentucky, I didn't take it serious. I didn't do right. Y'all know my mom retired from the airlines. I would need to be taking finals and I'd be on a flight somewhere.
Child. Wow. And, I can't speak because girl.
I'm not kidding you.
Honey.
I would be on a flight. But after I played around and my parents was like, yeah, we're not paying for you. We're not paying out of state fees for you to pay, play. So I came home. But when I came home, I got serious. I got a job. I finished school. I got a master's. But I am very glad that my parents gave me that opportunity to test the waters and see if I was really ready to be grown. Cause I found out quick that I wasn't.
Yeah.
That what I thought that I had in me to be successful, it wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's a great parent to let your kids find that out.
Yeah.
Because eventually what you taught them will kick in.
It sure will. And guess what? You learn quickly. I didn't. Okay. So yeah, I was a hard headed child. All right. So, I had to, okay. See, and I grew up with, other siblings. I had three other sisters. So you can best believe it's going to be one of them out of the group. Okay. That's going to kick against the bricks. All right. And I kicked against the bricks and I still do. Okay. Yeah, no. People that know me know.
No. Okay.
Yeah, you know it. So yeah, I had to learn the hard way. Okay. So no, I did not go to college. You know, I was like, you know what? That's not my thing. You know, I feel like I want to be in these streets and I want to see what's out there. And, yeah. So I had to, y'all know I'm going to give you the real. Okay. Cause I got number of realness for you over here. So yeah, I didn't go that route, but that would be the better route, you know, instead of having to go the hard way and have to figure things out the hard way. It was so much easier just to do it the way that you should do it. But I said that to say, and although I did not go to college, guess what? I didn't turn out too bad either. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still be successful. Mm-hmm. Your son, Tyler, can still be successful without a college education, without a college degree. And there's a lot of people like that today. You know, a lot of success stories where they did not complete high school even.
Yeah.
And did not go on to college and they are still successful, bright, intelligent, individuals.
Yeah.
So, girl, keep praying.
Yeah, we praying.
That's what it is. Because you can have all of that, and if you don't have a prayer life and you don't have a relationship with God, let's just be real. It could turn out even worse. Okay. You could have a college degree. You can have all the education in the world. You could be as smart as you thought that you could ever want to be and still end up in a situation to where you're looking like, man, what happened to me? Mm-hmm. What happened to my life? Yeah,
Because what the old folks say, it's a whole lot of educated fools.
You hear me?
Come on.
It's true.
It's true.
And it is.
Yeah. Oh, so.
It is. And he's so happy. He's so happy with doing his fitness stuff and he getting me into shape, you know?
Yeah, look at that.
I see that in your arms.
Oh, look, this arm.
Right. I'm trying to be like, you not grow up.
But, Courtney, actually, my chapters, my last chapter bled into your chapter. So she was starting her fetish line.
Yep.
And guess who she called?
P. Diddy.
And Jay-Z. So she started that. And so I think they talk about it more into your chapters. But as we transition to you, Courtney, some skeletons came out the closet for her.
They did.
So tell us about that.
Oh, y'all. So these three chapters, a lot, like you said, a lot went down. A lot of things came out. The very first chapter that I read was about her sex tape. She didn't know she had one. Let me preface it that way. However, she was, you know, minding her business one day and a DJ calls her up and apparently someone, she knew who it was, had leaked the tape. with her ex. 30 seconds.
That is disturbing. Like, like, did he run and cut the camera off or what?
They a high mess. Okay. I don't know if it was just 30 I'm seconds just saying, of a longer clip or
you need more than 30 seconds.
You know, I'm so done.
But I didn't know that she was with Stevie J until you told me that.
Well, let's be clear. She did not put his name right in exactly the book. And if right I were her, I wouldn't have either.
Right.
But
right,
but it's yeah just well, why you, well why known. You crying?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I had the chat GPT who the sex tape was with, and it was Stevie J.
It was. See, I didn't even know because I was gonna do all that, but I was just like, let me just mind my business. But okay, 30 seconds, Steve. We get it. So,
not
but the part of it for her, she was, like you were saying, she had just got her fetish line off the ground. A lot of great things was going for her. Mm-hmm. And she, when that came out, she was devastated because she's like, one, why would you do this to me? Like, mm-hmm, why would this happen? And she even mentioned, that's when the devil is busiest. Mm-hmm. When you have all these good things going mm-hmm for
oh
you.
Oh my God.
And that's when the attacks come. And I think that's so true because there's a lot of times when you are on the up and up or you're really like, you know, I'm going to dedicate myself to this or right I'm going to, you know, be consistent in this. Then the attacks are coming. But what I love about her, she keeps going. A lot of the times or she said she had a few interviews and people kind of like threw that out there like, oh, y'all, you know, you young kids in your sex tapes or, oh, and you used to be a stripper. And she's just like, no. But I love it. She doesn't let that define her.
All right.
She doesn't.
Yes.
She
can't.
Yes. She acknowledges it and she shuts it straight down. That's she's right like, that's not who I am. Yes, that happened. That was a piece of my life, but that's not me.
And people try to keep you there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's mm-hmm the part.
They try to keep you there. I don't care how long ago it was. It could be exactly 20, 30 years ago. What they remember. It is amazing how you remember.
Right.
Yeah, the negative things.
Exactly.
But you can never, you cannot muster up anything that was positive that mm-hmm you definitely know about me, hello, but you choose not to display that information.
Exactly. Because you're that, more comfortable yes, with me being in that.
Yes.
Place. That makes you
and ask me how I know.
Put it on a shirt.
Ask me how I know. Okay. Because it has happened to me, you know? Yes, it has happened to me. When I have got into a situation years ago, I don't know how many years, y'all could probably tell me better than I could, how many years ago it was, because that's just how far back I put this. But mm-hmm other people will not let you live
right
down yeah what it is that tried to scrutinize you and try to portray you to be a certain person based off 100%. Of this one incident. Never mind all the other things.
Right, you're not gonna
mm-hmm. Yeah, never mind all the other things.
Never mind that you're beautiful. Right, you have this or just personality.
Yeah, you've helped so many people in so many ways, including the people that are talking bad about you. Okay,
no, that's the part.
Yeah, that part. So it's like as long as they have something over you, or they think, because I tell my own story and I tell people that I take the power away from the enemy and tell my own story. Yes, I was locked up. Yes, I sure was. I tell that. That way the enemy don't feel like he has something over you. Well, you know, she was the one locked up. I absolutely was locked up. I went to prison, not only federal prison, but state prison as well.
Hello.
Okay. So, yes. And did you know the background of it all? Yes. Pertaining to something that really, it was meant to tarnish me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, and that's the thing that people look at. What, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you see what it was? And, but you don't know the truth behind that situation. Right. You only know what was put right out there.
Right.
Absolutely.
Folks is asking. So I think we got to get into it in some of the
come on
episodes
with it.
Because folks is they, saying, what did she go to prison for? And I said, y'all got to continue to listen and watch.
Yeah. Because so if I said it right now, it would take up the whole, because we go from question to question to question.
Right.
But trust me, I am not afraid to talk about that. Actually, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes. And it will be talked about because you deserve to know. The truth, that
and,
is.
And it's true. We don't want nobody else to tell it. Not because we don't want them to tell it, but because you might leave out something that the person who experienced
absolutely
it. You
absolutely
might have forgotten something.
Right.
Yeah. So let us in the next episode, this is going to be all us. All about us and our reflection. So y'all stay tuned and we will dive deeper into our stories next.
Absolutely.
So wait, so Courtney, did you wrap up? Because if you did, go ahead,
I
wrap
did
up. Oh, you did?
I didn't, but it's that was great. We needed that little interlude. You see, the people need to know, and I love it. But basically, so just like you were saying, Eve took her power back. She set people in her place, and I thought that was awesome. You, what she went into next in the next chapter, she was talking about the loss of DMX. R.I.P. His, you know, he passed April 9th. So in that episode, she was just talking about the connection that she had with him and how once he passed, she felt like that was kind of like the end of Rough Riders, if you will.
Yeah.
She already spoken a little bit about how she felt lonely as she started to part from Rough Riders and as she worked more with Interscope and things of that nature and understanding, you know, being a part. But that was the part where she had to grieve. Yeah. And there's a lot of times in life we have to grieve certain things, whether, you know, it's an actual person that we lose or a friendship relationship. Mm-hmm. So again, she just does it with so much grace because she just talks so much about how, you know, she knew DMX had his own demons and things that he was going through. But to see him, you know, finally laid to rest, she felt that he finally got that peace that he deserved. And then that gave her peace too, to know he didn't have to deal with that stuff anymore. Yeah. So I think that's very important too, as we just deal with people in life in general. Everybody's going through something at some point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I like to say, give a little grace. You never really know what the next person is going through.
Yeah.
And then finally, in the very last chapter, the last thing that really, really stuck out to me, this is where Eve is starting to, her mental health is starting to tick. It's starting to like degrade, if you will. And everything's hitting her. She's being dropped from the label. She's feeling lonely. It's like, but I'm doing all these great things, but like, you guys don't want to help me. I want to be creative. You don't want to let me. Everybody's telling me no. And it's starting to just really, really eat at her. Cause think about it in life. I think we were talking about a little bit earlier. How many jobs did I apply to? People just tell me no.
Yeah.
How many times did I go out for this? And like, I'm not good enough. And so that starts to really, it'll start to knock at your confidence. Yeah. I've been there. It's like, golly, like I just can't catch a break. So, you know, Hollywood life, you know, what does she do? She turns to drugs. She turns to alcohol. She turns to partying. Things to numb the pain. Mm-hmm. Things that not just celebrities do. Regular folk do it every day. Mm-hmm. So that led to her actually getting in her car very intoxicated. And she wrecked out. She crashed her car. Thank God she was able to walk away. It was just her that was impacted in the accident. So nobody else got hurt or anything. Mm-hmm. Thank God. And she realized at that moment, like, yo, something has to change. Like, I have to change. Mm-hmm. So she got caught with she got charged with DUI. And she finally got sober. Mm-hmm. So 56 days sober. And that's when it started to hit her. I have a lot of stuff. A lot of myths that I have going on. That's unpacked.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where she says she finally noticed, I can't run from these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have to deal with them. And I think that's very important for people to understand. It's hard. But if you don't face it, you're just going to continue to suppress it. And it's going to come out in different ways. And you're not going to understand what's going on. But it's because you didn't deal with it.
Yeah. And if you don't face it, it's going to face you.
Yeah.
That's good. That is so good. That's so good.
That's very true. That's something my dad told me about grief when I was fighting grief a few years back. And he told me that grief was tricky. And either you deal with it or it's going to deal with you.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I definitely applaud her because she took it face on, just like she does so amazingly throughout the entire book. She just faces it and she wasn't afraid of it. Where she was afraid of it, she wasn't afraid to go and do the work. You know what I'm saying? And she did the work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why she is where she is now. So my biggest message and takeaway from this is do the work. It's going to suck. It's going to be hard. You're going to be lonely sometimes, but doing the work, that's where your healing comes in. That's how you get healed. And if you don't, just do your work. Do your self-work. It'll pay off.
You
don't know
how strong you are unless you do the work, unless you go through it.
Exactly.
Okay? A lot of times when we go through things and we feel like, well, I'll use me because you know I'm good for that. I'll use myself. I didn't think that I would be able to go through certain things in my life.
Right.
Until I had to go through them.
Exactly.
You know, and then I've seen how strong of a person that I really am. Now, other people tell you all day long, girl, you are so strong. You just don't understand how strong you are. But unless you actually have to sit down with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like sit with yourself in your own mess.
Exactly.
Okay. And look at it face, like dead face on and realize, okay, yeah, this is something that I probably have created for myself. I got myself into, but however, you can get out of that.
Yeah.
You, like you said, you have to do the work, but you have to be able to take courage.
Exactly.
You
know?
And
exactly.
That's something that I've been hearing a lot. Courage.
Yeah.
Take courage and do what needs to be done, because you won't even realize how strong you are until you look that thing straight in the face and say, okay, it is what it is.
Right.
But we have to get through this.
We have to.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
and I was thinking about Ree when it, so transitioning from your chapters mm-hmm. to Ree's when starting chapter 15, Ree, I thought about you because I went back to reread it and you said it the loudest. All of y'all said it about men being intimidated by women. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know about that. And so in Lip Lock. And I didn't even notice that she named a lot of her chapters after her album. Lip Lock was the name of her album. But yeah, Ree, in that chapter, she spoke about the disrespect that some of the men were giving to her.
Yep.
And she checked them, but I thought about you because right the way she checked them, I was like, okay, this Ree,
we're not gonna have
this,
that.
This firecracker Ree gonna call you out.
Yeah.
And, but then I was like, wait a minute,
pie, but we ain't gonna have
right?
that.
But I'm like, well, why did they do it like that? And I say it's the intimidation that Ree was talking about. So we're gonna go ahead and transition to you talk about this men intimidation.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Put your seatbelts on.
Yeah, and listen, that was a good read. I'm not gonna, y'all, I really didn't read it, but I knew what it was about. Okay. But I'm gonna give y'all the info because y'all need to go read this. Okay. Y'all have to go read this chapter because it really, when I learned of what was going on in that chapter, it really hit home because it talked about, like you said, her getting this album together, Lip Lock. And her, she's feeling good about this. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's feeling real, real good. She's feeling strong. Like, okay, yes, I'm digging this. I'm loving this. I'm going to present this to my people, you know, and see how they feel about it. I'm sure she was thinking they're going to love it just like I love it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to love this thing. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
So she presents them only to be disappointed, right?
And totally disrespected,
you know? So never mind. She put all her blood, sweat, and tears into this, but nobody really acknowledges that when it's something that you, like when you feel strong, and I had to think about some stuff that I have really felt passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody else's business to put into it what you put into it. But at the time, you really want to share this with the people you really feel like got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And will be happy for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only to discover you're not happy for me at all.
At all.
She put all this into this album and to present it to her people like, okay, I got it, y'all. This is what it is. You're going to love it. And for her, for them to basically tell her she has nothing.
Yeah. And they're sitting in that laughing.
Yes. I was just about to say.
Absolutely.
Like you laugh in my face.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did she do? Like you said, she got them told before she got up and walked out. She got them told in her way. Okay. And basically letting them know what you're not going to do is dummy my project down. What you're not going to do is make me feel less than who I know that I am. I know
part.
I got it.
That's
and so that we have to get to the point, ladies, to where even when nobody is backing us.
Come on.
Even when nobody supports our dream and our vision and what we know that, oh, this is it.
Come on.
When we know it, that's all it takes is for us to know it.
Exactly.
So since we know it, then we have to drive that thing. We have to push that thing forward.
Yes.
I don't care if you're standing alone and Eve end up standing alone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not, it did not stop her. It moved. I think that was really a push.
Like a motivator for her.
You know,
yes.
Let that be the push. Don't let that be something that makes you crawl into a corner and say, you know what? Well, I guess I don't have nothing.
Right.
I guess it ain't my time. I guess this is not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, don't allow people to push you into that corner because they're out there and they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because why? The intimidation is real. The hate is real. The envy is real.
The jealousy is real. Ask her how she knows.
Baby. Let's talk about it.
It is what it is. You know, but Eve. She didn't stop. And that is why I had to give her flowers because it could have stopped her. But she said, you know what? No, I'm going to keep driving even on my own dime.
Hello.
I don't have any financial support, but guess what? I'm going to keep going. If it takes every dime that I have for this project, I'm going to spend. And she did lose. She lost quite a bit, on this project because she had to fund this, you know, for herself, which can be very expensive. You know, when you're doing it yourself, you don't have no backing, you don't have no help. Yeah, it can be very expensive in a lot of different ways, not only just in your pockets. Okay. But she went through that experience. But I believe all that had to happen to make her to the person that she is today, moving forward and being able to transition the way that she did.
Yeah.
And so that was promising to me, even with stuff that I feel bad about where it didn't work out or I didn't have the support that I thought I would have, or I didn't have the people around me that I thought would be around me and that would really be happy for me. And when they wasn't, it was very disappointing. Yeah. That is true. And I'm sure she was disappointed. Yes.
And hurtful, because the truth is when we started this podcast, I oftentimes would go back and look at our audience to see where the people were who were watching or who were on our social. Mm. It has never, me and Ray both are from the same place. Indiana has never been first or even in our top four cities. Never. Yeah. And still not. True. But what that reminded me of, it doesn't matter who's not with you.
Come on, Jan.
The only thing that matters is who is with
that's
you.
That's it.
Don't put your that's focus it. On who's yeah. not yes. there. Mm-hmm. Even if it only seems that it's only you, because it's never just you.
Exactly.
God is always.
Come on.
So
come
I on.
And he with you.
Off of that, and say, you know today. What? That's okay. Mm-hmm. That my hometown is not backing me. My daddy do. My mama do.
Come on, girl.
My family does. My girls do. My man does. So I had to take my focus off of all the, and I will call them little people. Because I made them giants.
Yeah. Ooh.
And they are
come
not
on,
that
Jen.
Important.
Come on, Jen. Come on. Come on.
Not that important.
That's it.
That's so
and I would good. Rather have, I would rather have five people that genuinely support me than 100 that are yelling falsely.
Yeah.
Okay. Saying they with me. But when it all boils down to it, you're not.
Exactly.
I'd rather have them five solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Come on, 10 toes down.
Yes. And ask me how I know, because while I was in prison.
How do you know?
That's it. We're going to have to get to what let she went to prison for.
Pretty soon. When
season
when
two.
I was in prison, I only had about, I can count on a half of a hand.
Baby, what's that?
Not even two hands.
Would that be two?
How many people were really solidly there for me? I mean, from start to finish, the entire two years and something. And those were the same few people, okay, that stood with me the whole time. But those weren't the ones that was yelling with the crowd before it all hit the fan.
Yeah.
The ones that were yelling in the crowd, saying how much they support me, how much, Ray, it's Ray Day. Ray, you wonderful. Ray, you great. Ray, you so beautiful. You a boss, Ray. You this, you that. You got it. None of them.
Gone.
None of them supported.
Wow.
None of them supported. So it was a way that God also had to show me.
Yes. That
people
part.
Talk
He's gonna show
a
you
good game. You. But I will allow certain situations and allow you to go through certain, you know, a predicament to where you will see.
So good.
Those that are really for you, even through the ugliness, even if it was true what I did, I'm going to tell you what, you got three solid people that support you anyway.
Right.
No matter what.
That's so no good. Matter what.
Come on.
Say I did do all the heinous stuff that they put out there on the news. Say I did do that. He got a group. The Lord has a group of people. It's only going to be a few, because he never need no big crowd.
Not at
to
all.
Do nothing. So he will show you, come hell or high water, there is a few people that will, they really are genuine about the support that they have for you.
Yes.
And you keep living. Just keep living. Right. You'll see.
And I think that's big, like what you said, in understanding and accepting that we don't need the crowd.
Don't need the crowd. It's a bunch of noise.
A bunch of noise.
It's just noise.
You don't need that. And it's okay, because I even with my daughter, she's just like, well, I don't have a whole lot. Maybe you don't need
27. You don't need it.
You don't want 27 friends.
You can promise.
And my mom used to tell me that, girl, you thought they would. You think they're your friends.
Exactly. So.
You think they? Yeah, she, no, girl, come on,
preach,
come on, look, tap your neighbor, tap your neighbor, good
baby, because hold a hand and tell them, ask me how I know,
ask me how I know.
Now look to your other neighbor,
girl,
ask me how I know.
So Jen, in your chapter coming up, starting with chapter 18,
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
So before chapter 18, y'all know she went to the Canadian border to go on the car cruise around the world. And that's where she met her now husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what I will say about that, she still had that DUI on her record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she tried to cross that border and they was like, you got this expired expungement paper, boo. You're not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Maximilian came out the clouds and was like, hey, let me call the chief of police.
And it's like,
Now that didn't work, but Maximilian told her, hey, this is the route that I want you to go.
Yeah.
So go around this way. And when she crossed the border, the back way that he told her to go, he was right there. So
come on. Solid support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and dive into something that we kind of grazed by. Maximilian, let's be clear, is not of African descent.
He's not.
And how do y'all feel about that?
Oh, listen, honor is honor.
Mm-hmm.
Honor. Listen, I don't care what color it is, what it looked like.
Yeah.
Honor. If you honor me and you really, because with honor comes love.
Yeah. Yeah.
With honor comes respect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With honor comes everything that you don't even have to ask for. It's just coming. It's you know? So, and that doesn't have a color.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it. If it takes a different race to do that, I welcome that. Okay. She deserves that. She deserves every woman.
Yes.
Deserves to be honored.
Yeah.
Every black woman.
Deserves that.
Deserves to be honored and respected and cherished.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I love the fact that he did that for her.
Me too. Okay. Because I'm sure she even said she wasn't expecting it. She wasn't.
See,
that's literally how it happened. That's,
and so Coco, we'll let you talk a little bit more about this situation.
Well, I'm with Eve. My husband is not of African descent either. And like she said, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't looking for that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for anything. I actually told the Lord, Jesus, I'm done. I'm done looking for folks. I'm tired of being out in these streets. I'm just here with you. And it literally just came like out of nowhere in that honor, that respect, that love, that build of trust. It was just like a breath of fresh air.
Like,
and it was just like,
exhale.
Literally, like,
tell me about
the
it.
Safety that you feel. And it's like, I love my daddy black. Black.
Yeah.
Real black.
Yeah.
Exactly. I still support them, love them and everything. But for me, it didn't come in that form. Yeah. And I'm totally okay with it. And I just feel like a lot of more black women, you know, explore a little bit, you know, just kind of see, test the water. Right. Yeah. I know it's not for everybody. I get it. And I understand it. But sometimes what we're looking for never comes how we're looking for it.
So I am definitely not against it.
You're
but
not.
Let's talk about it. Come with me.
Oh, okay. I mean,
my father's black.
Okay.
Whether y'all can see it or not.
What?
My father's black. Okay. And very handsome as well.
I bet.
But when I was in the eighth grade. He's very handsome. But when I was in the eighth grade, we lived in Indianapolis for 1 year. And I remember, and I was going to a predominantly white school.
Okay.
And there was an athlete, and I'll trick his name up a little bit. Let's call him Fussell Wright.
Oh, Fussell Wright. Okay.
Fussell Wright.
Just call him Jack.
And, and Fussell Wright, I mean, Fussell Wright was definitely white.
He was white. Okay.
He was a basketball star. I want to say he wrestled, very handsome, dark feature. He was liking me. I thought it was funny and cute, and I was liking him. So when I would have friends over, he would come with his friends. We would all hang out. He would have friends at his house, and we would hang out. And then it got to be more frequent, so people started to see us.
Mm-hmm.
What I did know was that his mother worked in the school.
Oh.
Okay.
So she found out about it.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. She was one of them.
You know where I'm going with this. So she approached me. She actually came and got me out of class.
Shut the front door.
And I don't think I ever told my mom this, but she came and got me out of class. She said, hi, Jennifer. She was really nice at first. And she said, well, I noticed you've come over a few times, but I don't know if you know this, but my husband works for his father. And if his father found out that my son was dating you, we could lose everything.
Really?
So can you please stay away from my son?
Wait a minute. How dare you as an
adult? And how old were you then?
Yeah, I was in the eighth grade.
That's what I'm saying. Wow. And that's where I was getting... What? Girl, I got choice words. Wow. That's disgusting because there are still parents and people like that to this day.
Oh, yeah.
How dare... This is a child you're talking to.
Yes, she did. And so I smiled and, you know, I was like, whatever. Because I was just a kid.
Yeah, you didn't know.
And I was thinking to myself, you do not want me to call my mama. you don't want this. I was like, well, and in my mind,
you don't
want
to deal with a black mama.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You have no idea. Right. And in my mind, I'm thinking we're going to do what we want to do anyway.
Right.
You're not in class with us. So we still carried on.
Mm-hmm.
She approached me again.
No, she didn't.
Okay.
Yes, she did. She approached me again and I pretty much did the same thing. Okay, whatever. But then Russell came to me.
Mm. Okay.
And he said, hey,
Russell.
We have to stop hanging out.
Oh.
Yeah,
Fussell
Russell. I figured out.
So if you're watching Fussell Russell,
now Fussell, right? You know who you are. But there's some silver lining in this too, though, y'all. So he approached me and he basically was like, hey, we had to wrap that thing up.
Uh-huh.
And so from then on, I have never even thought about looking at another race.
Wow. And see how that... just what happened to you at a young age had basically planted a seed to where you felt like, yeah, this is not right. In other words, it wasn't right. And that is so, that's awful.
But so you have to eat. You know, when I read this book, I looked up Fussell Wright.
You know,
oh, Lord.
Baby, Fussell Wright weigh about 350.
I already knew
walking around like a farmer.
Oh, no.
And the girl that he married was a girl that we were in school with. Because they ended up dating like a week after he told me his mom. Like, girl.
Also, Fussell Russell, move on quick.
And I'm going to go ahead and say her name. Jill. Her name was Jill. I'm not going to say Jill last name, but she was the typical, but she was very plain Jane, not a very cute girl, still not.
Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real. She's still not cute. She was very plain, but she fit the bill, right?
Yeah.
And I looked them up and I said, Lord, I'm glad because you knew I could not live like this.
Oh, wow. The Lord be knowing too,
y'all. Yeah. He be saving us from stuff.
You know what we think that we really be wanting as far as.
Yeah.
Be like, you just don't know. Just
keep
living.
Yeah, so I agree. I just want everybody to be happy so you can be happy in this world. And find who loves you, who cherishes you, who respects you. So, that was interesting. Now, let's talk about it. Chapter 18, Eve gets to step on a talk show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She said she did not like it. Mm-mm. And she said although she was real quick to, you know, battle and rap on stage, but she got stage fright when she's speaking and everybody else is quiet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I could understand that because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. Like when you performing, you got all these people singing and clapping and dancing.
Yeah.
But when it's quiet, I can see that. But she didn't like it. And she said she didn't like the public speaking. But most of all, she didn't like because it was fake and because they ask you for your opinion, but the moment that you say it, you get dragged. And that's what happened to her. They asked her opinion about Nicki Minaj. She said what she said because Nicki Minaj was on the cover of something and she didn't agree with how Nicki Minaj was portrayed.
Right. Yeah.
And she didn't drag her for it because keep in mind, Eve clearly knows she used to dance or whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows she didn't even have the room to. But she just said that she wasn't a fan of the way Nicki presented herself. And the Barbs came for her.
The Barbs don't play.
They dragged her. And from that moment on, she wanted out, but she decided to stay and ride that thing out. But that moment is what caused her to be like, no, I don't like this. I don't like being set up to say you want my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all these ladies behind me are being fake and I'm trying to be real and I'm the one to get dragged through Twitter.
Yeah, she should have.
You know, so I just took that as if that job wasn't the job that she wanted, but it was a job that she needed. And I related to that because come with me.
We're coming.
OK, I was presented by this financial company. I won't even call them out because I think they can sue me if I do because I took a settlement. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to.
They came to me, sought me out for almost a year. Like, hey, we want you to come and work for us. So the money was right. So I was like, okay, it's time for transition. Went to work for that bank. When I went to work for that bank, I started off with a certain manager. It was a lady. She was of Asian descent. She was great. She was super smart. Mm-hmm. She was a great coach and a mentor. But I keep in mind, I transitioned to financial services. Mm. So transitioning to financial services, that's the good old boys club, right? Mm-hmm. So they eventually got to her and she left.
Really?
So she wasn't my manager.
Yep.
So I had a male manager.
Oh.
Okay. So he didn't even live in this city. He lived in California. So I only saw him on Zoom. He would come down once or twice a quarter. So I was cool with that because I don't got to look at you.
Right.
Well, he became my manager in the third week of November. Shame that I remember this. And it was November of 2020.
Yep.
Okay.
I remember.
When I tell you I was the most stressed that I've ever been at a job, and I was like, what is happening? And in January, he had to fly down to give me my review. And I promise y'all, we said in the review, he actually told me where to sit because we had to reserve a private room because he didn't have an office there.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me where to sit. So we were face to face, right? And he said, set up straight, and he folded his arms. He said, you know, Jennifer, I know you drive a nice, expensive car. And a lot of people say that they like you because you're like a social butterfly and you make really good money. But I don't know what's your skill?
Oh, wow.
He said this.
He said this.
Oh, wow.
He said this.
Disgusting.
And I kept my composure and he said, well, I can see that you're upset, but I'm just telling the truth. And I just sat there and I kept my composure. When the meeting was over, I went to HR. And do you know what they told me? Take him out for a drink and just see if you can connect with him. Like, just not formal. Just have drinks with him. Because it just sounds like you just need to get him to like you.
Oh, wow.
Now, eventually, I took a break from that job.
Yeah.
And they had to pay for that break.
Mm-hmm.
So I left for a little bit and I made my demands and said that when I came back, if I came back, that I could not be working for him.
Right.
And so that was that. But I said that to say, although Eve went through all these situations that weren't comfortable, that she didn't like with the situation in the boardroom specifically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes we do go through something. But there's a lesson that we need.
Absolutely.
What I learned in that moment when he sat across that table from me with his arms folded was that I needed to learn how to handle confrontation with class.
Right. Ooh. That's good.
I needed to learn how to get up and walk away and keep my dignity to leave you in your foolishness.
That's right.
And I need to walk up and exit. And then when I came back in that building, he couldn't even be within a certain feet of me. When he was in town and eventually he was let go.
Wow.
So I took away from that sometimes it's not the job that you want, but it's the job that you need.
Yeah.
So
character, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For real. So the last two chapters, she was, she went to work for this show called Queens, a lot of drama, a lot of chaos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she had already made up in her mind that she was going to be in a peaceful place. So she knew she was going to exit that thing and she did. And her exit moment was when she got pregnant. And she was like, yeah, I can't be dealing with this drama because I'm pregnant anyway. You know, so. And in the next chapter, right. So although she exited because she was afraid of losing her baby, she eventually did lose that baby in the final chapter. But the silver lining is she got married. She got pregnant with her son. And this chapter 20 is called Born to Be Wild. And that's actually her son's name is Wild Wolf.
With Wild Wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so she had the miscarriage, but she ended up getting pregnant. She also found out, which I think is important for us to talk about at a later date. Mm-hmm. She had endometriosis.
Okay.
And I related to that because I'm fresh off of fibroids, like barely a year. And I thought that it was just something minor, but I didn't realize how major it was till they came and then they left. And I had to have surgery. And I was like, wow, like that was major. So she talked about that. And I'm glad, because I think especially Black women, because it hits us hardest, that we need to be more open about that so that we can know that we're not alone and know what our options are. So,
yeah, that's good.
Awareness.
But she ended this book, y'all, by saying, and I love this. This was probably my favorite part of the book, because soft life is just becoming a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's just starting to say it. But Eve said it when she wrote this book. And I was so glad that she wasn't a woman who was too intimidated or just too strong to say this. Having her husband allowed her to not continue to fight the hustle.
Yes.
She even said, there's no more rough riding for me.
I know that's right.
You know, like I was a part of the Rough Riders. I'm glad I did it, but no more rough riding for me.
It's almost like her husband came in and saved her in a sense.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't have to fight so hard no more.
Yeah, she could just live.
Yeah.
It is so much better just to live. You know,
I'm telling you, because I am living right now.
Fight, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that's what she was doing a lot throughout her career. She was just fighting to prove herself.
Yeah.
You know, fighting to show people, okay, I got it. I'm this, I'm that. Like, yeah, and I can identify with that. So busy trying to prove. No, I have come to a point now, I don't have to prove anything. Right. I am who I am. And people that love you, they're just going to be there regardless, you know, of where that is, where you're at in your life doesn't matter. They're just there to support. And it sounds like he's a very solid support for her.
I love him.
Yes.
I love them.
So ladies, I think we got to wrap this thing up. And I want to say this, Let's Be Real, Not Right is not a book club. We're four different ladies from four different walks of life. And what we just wanted to show you guys is how we connect different people through one book, different experiences, but we all found some type of connection, some type of correlation to Eve's life. And we hope you do too. So you guys, let's support our Black women. Go out and purchase this book. And ladies, let's be real.
Not right.
All right. Bye. See y'all later.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap, and we hope you enjoy Eve's memoir, Who's That Girl, as much as we did. So many lessons learned, and I hope you took notes. Now, Let's Be Real, Not Right is just getting started, and in the next episode, we're going to give you more of what you've been asking for, all about our journey, current events, and so much more. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed us, don't be stingy, share. And if you're new here, tap the subscribe button, follow us, and don't miss what's coming. Keep it real, and don't forget who you are.